We're back. We've been chomping at the bit, waiting to get our views back out to you. We're on the Wednesday panel. I'm in studio with David Daniels, who is the chairperson of the Municipal Planning Tribunal, as well as Rob McGaffin, who is a town planner, land economist at the UCT Nedbank Urban Real Estate Research Unit, but obviously both key players in the notion of spatial development in the Western Cape, or at least in Cape Town in particular. We left off at the end of the last while. Before traffic, before sport, before talking about how much we needed more stock online in terms of developments online. Where are the exciting areas where we're seeing that potentially being taken up?
You know, Rafilwe, the things that excite me most are the small things. We've been focusing, and the stuff that gets into the news, the big harbour arch, etc. We've had nearly 200 meetings now of the tribunal, and if we consider, say, 30 applications at each meeting, that means over 6,000 applications that we've approved. The things that excite me are Mr. Solomon's and a house shop in Mitchell's Plain. Mm-hmm. The tavern, heaven forbid, the tavern in Khayelitsha. ECDs, those things are really, really important sources of employment. And then small developments, small blocks of flats, small infill units. I think those are the really important job creators. So I think we need to do more to provide opportunities for micro, medium-sized enterprises.
Okay, so what we are hearing – sorry, go ahead. Sorry, Rob.
No, I think so. I mean, I would agree. And I think, if you think that the development process is onerous for the top or, high-end, large-scale but developers, the small developers have to go through the same hoops and loops as well. And then – they aren't as equipped and aren't as financially sound to be able to ride that journey, and yet playing an incredibly important role of bringing affordable stock to Cape Town. In fact, I think they're the biggest housing developer in Cape Town. Mm. It's the massive small idea. Lots of small players producing a lot of units. And, just drive out Khayelitsha, even if you just drive to the airport, look left, look right, and you see double-story buildings going up, putting up between 8 and 12 rental units. Those units are being rented out at 2,000 rand a month, which is affordable to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And those developers are, in fact, I think the most astute developers in Cape Town, because they're actually addressing the value versus cost issue. They're able to put those buildings up at a cost that enables them to rent it out at 2,000 rand a square meter.
So then a challenge from Stefan, a listener, saying, "Hi, Rifilwe, I'd like to know why developers don't create a type of business village outside the major, like Cape Town, CBD or Stellies, and or rather away from them to ease traffic to and from town," which brings us back to accessibility. Because it seems as though incentivization-wise, David, you have some room to influence where these would come up. And, it sounds as though from what you're saying, Rob, the economics would play quite well.
Yeah, remember, we're a decision-making body, so, I have limited ability to tell city officials what to do. That's not within my mandate. But we often, at our meetings, just say, can we just make this note? And can you take this through to the town planners and to the political leadership? For example, inclusionary housing. I can think of about 6 occasions where we've said, you really need to now fast-track the development of an inclusionary housing policy. But I agree with your listener, and I've said this previously, that we need to establish nodes where people are.
This WhatsApp says yes to nodes and moving commercial centres to living areas. We must move away from houses. Sorry, go ahead.
Maybe this will be the first time I disagree with David in a little bit, etc.
maybe that's about time now.
I mean, I think in principle, absolutely. But I think we must not be naive as well. Mm. We've been redrawing Cape Town for the last 25 years.
Okay.
Let's have an economic node there, an economic node there, et cetera, because it'll help with the structuring of the city, which in principle I don't have a problem with. But I don't think what those plans don't take into account is who's going to use that space.
Mm.
So if you're a big logistics warehouse operator who's now delivering stuff for Takealot, or if you are a startup IT company, etc., is the Khayelitsha CBD really the spot that you're going to be able to run your business out of? So I think we've got to understand Cape Town's economy much better.
Mm.
What are the sectors in that economy right? What are their BIT requirements and where are they likely to locate? And what are the conditions? What are the locational conditions that they require? Because if we can create those in other spaces, then you've got a chance. Because a developer has to sell or lease a building ultimately.
For sure. What makes you question whether, say, a Khayelitsha CBD, is it the infrastructure that's lacking from the city or what?
Look, I think it would vary a little bit from sector to sector. So, but you know, you take the legal sector for instance. Right. Now we've just seen, you know, large law firms, etc., mm-hmm. building their buildings in the CBD, etc. Well, you know, often they have to be next to you, but the courts. They have to draw their staff in from an incredibly wide range of suburbs in Cape Town, etc. So they've got to be in these highly accessible locations, etc. You know, so. I think we just shouldn't be naive. And I've been a little bit frustrated that these plans are slightly naive. I think they have good intentions. I have no problem with the intentions, but I think they can be a bit naive.
Rob, you know who else has been rolling out a great deal of developments in the city center? Banks. So here's a great sector that is kind of pervasive for most people almost anywhere. Like, why aren't banks also establishing themselves in more outlying areas?
I'm not sure they have been. I mean, remember, okay, I suppose Absa went out to Century City, I suppose, is one, but I'm not sure what...
I'm saying, why aren't they? Why aren't more of them doing that?
Well, we've got to remember, people only need space if they're growing their employee base, right? Mm. You've got to house people, etc.
Which
what's not happening at the moment. So why would you go and take up extra space somewhere else?
Understood.
Staying on the same topic. The city... has for planning purposes, has divided the metro into 8 planning districts, and they are now busy redrawing or reviewing and revising those 8 district plans. I think the problem is there is a problem in the way these plans are made, that planners talk to other planners and I suppose engage with community as well. You need to talk to the people who actually make developments happen on the ground as well. So engage with the development community as well. And I think they will determine what would be appropriate uses that locate in the various districts.
Yeah, but I think that frustrates a lot of people that they are the guiders of that, but yes.
Yeah, so I think that's the approach that should be taken in the redrafting of the 8 new district plans.
Welcome back to it. Ernest in Durbanville, you had some thoughts about this topic.
Yes, you know, the problem is that the priority with development or anything to enable everyone to be economically, equal, is public transport. All the focus should be on setting up a public transport system whereby everyone is, say, for example, a half an hour from any point in the within the peninsula. Mm. Because, say, for example, I get this lovely job in town, I now get my cheap housing in town, which is wonderful, but in 5 years' time, I can now get a job in Brackenfell, which is a promotion. It's a better opportunity. But the problem is that I'm now once again economically disabled because
transport.
To get from town to Brackenfell. So if we're looking at long-term development, if people are able to access employment equally due to public transport, we'll find that the need for nodes, the need for people to have cheap housing in certain areas. Because all you're doing is that if you give a person a cheap house in a particular area, what you're doing is that once again you are limiting his access to opportunity. And that is the problem we find at the moment, is the limit of access. And we need to stop people from being economically disabled, because public transport will enable everything to grow anywhere, even as a business.
Thank you, Ernest.
Yeah. Okay,
appreciate that.
You.
Alrighty. Mm-hmm. So very sage point one that you made earlier, Rob. It becomes very frustrating then, David, that the inclusion of the Municipal Planning Tribunal doesn't come up with the planning for example, transport planning. Earlier on, I asked how much they include you in their decision making. It becomes a concern then, doesn't it?
Yeah. Look, policies are made by the municipality. So we don't get involved. I suppose you can't be player and referee. That would probably be the principle. So they make the policies, they put together the various proposals, and those get submitted to the tribunal for consideration. I'm deeply concerned. I mean, Ernest is correct. We really need to fix public transport desperately. I mean, it's a desperate problem. And you can't have a well-functioning city if you don't have a well-functioning public transport system. So Ernest is absolutely correct. Yeah.
Some thoughts, Rob, from you? You?
No, absolutely. And I come back, I reiterate my point is why this affordable housing is so important, because we need the affordable housing to create the thresholds to create the public to make the public transport system viable.
Okay, that's a good point. Now, other constraints from an infrastructural perspective which possibly fit into the public realm that you described earlier. This WhatsApp says, why are we allowing so much development of 3- and 4-story housing in parklands? Lack of infrastructure means services can't keep up. Now, we had a caller who is no longer here. If I can frame that question from that listener, in the context of somebody trying to suggest that we are trying to solve social ills in a free market, and that's just not going to work. I'm curious on your views on that, seeing as nowhere in the world is purely free.
Rob can deal with the free market question, but okay. We do consider, I think Zane has raised the issue of services. Are there sufficient services available to sustain these developments? Now, when we get reports from the city officials, all the service the service departments that are relevant to that particular decision, they provide recommendations as well. So the transport engineers would have looked at it, and they would make a recommendation to the. So we're guided by the experts within the city.
Yeah, I mean, I think this idea of the free market can also get misinterpreted. I think, you know, somebody building an extra room in the back of a house in Nyanga or Guguletu, et cetera, that's the free market. And the free market works pretty well, actually. It's actually quite efficient, and it responds to needs on the ground. And I think, you know, we would be living in La La Land if we think that the state is going to solve all these social issues that we have here. It doesn't have the resources, and it by definition, its policies have to be a one-size-fits-all because it has to be seen to be equitable. So we have to have the free market operating in this space. I think developers are wrong if they think that they can abdicate their responsibilities in terms of dealing with this.
Right.
But for me, that is where the market is. It's the biggest market in Cape Town. So if I was a developer, I would much rather be playing in that space than at the top end, which is incredibly thin.
Which makes us kind of agreed with a number of these WhatsApps that have come through. Somebody says it's really not rocket science. Rocket science. We need to stop benefiting cars and prioritize pedestrians, reduce parking requirements in well-located areas. Comes back to a great transport system, right? Not needing to have individual cars. And then somebody else says one of the issues on the tribunal is that it's just engineers and planners, technical people. There should be social workers or health professionals as well. Is there any merit to that?
I suppose yes. I think the city of Cape Town, in their wisdom, decided that this is how their tribunal should be made up.
Mm-hmm.
Other cities have adopted a different approach and have a whole range of other disciplines serving on the tribunal. So, yeah, I think that would add value.
All right. I've got a couple of seconds just to ask each of you, how do we take this conversation forward?
Just very quickly, and maybe it's a little bit of a tangent. My favorite one-liner in legislation, in the Systems Act, it defines a municipality as being made up of officials, councillors, and the community.
Mm.
I mean, I think that is so profound. And the point Robert just made, that developers, private citizens, we'd better get off our backsides and start doing things, because if we think that government is going to solve all our woes, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I think there's been a lot of talk and effort being put into this inclusionary housing story. Mm-hmm. And I think, to me, I have my concerns in the sense that I don't think it's going to be able to be rolled out at scale.
Mm.
So it's not going to actually deal with the issue at scale. But it takes the eye off the ball of what some of the real problems are. And I wish we could put the same amount of effort into addressing some of the systemic issues in the system. Land, infrastructure, development processes, etc., so that we can actually start addressing this thing, you know, systemically rather in a rather knee-jerk reaction way, which is what I think this inclusionary housing is.
All right, gentlemen, sorry to cut it there. David Daniels, chairperson of the Municipal Planning Tribunal, and Rob McGaffin, who is a town planner and land economist at Urban Real Estate Research Unit with the UCT and Nedbank. Thank you both for joining us on the panel today. And unfortunately, that is a wrap.